Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
Hot days in the summertime, we're here for you. We're here for you to keep it cool. It's a show where we talk about things that are good, that we like, that we're into.
The sun is out, and we both, at this moment, have our guns out.
That is true. Rachel said to me yesterday, I never want you to wear sleeves again. It made me feel very good about myself and my arms and my strength and my power and my strength and power. I protect my family. I protect my family with my big arms, both of them, left one and a right one.
I declared Griffin Mr. July yesterday.
That's true.
We were out on the trampoline, had a little sprinkler going.
Kids hated it.
Kids, Griffin was working so hard to try and sell it to them.
Woo! I was literally shouting like, woo, having fun.
I'm just going to stand right under this and let the water get on my face. Look, it's
shouted,
okay.
I shouted, hot fun in the summertime. We're keeping it cool here. I'm wonderful. I said that to our sons. And they were like, what, daddy? I don't. Yeah, it was a good time. I'm going to say that's my small wonder is playing on a trampoline with a sprinkler. They make trampoline sprinklers, and they're sprinklers that you strap onto your trampo, and then they spin around, and they spray water all over the dang place. It's fun to bounce, and it's fun to be wet.
I will say I noticed that the sprinkler that we bought said for ages 3 and up, so we were definitely taking a risk by allowing our 2-year-old out there, who did slip and fall several times.
So many times. 6-year-old also slipped and fell a lot of times. I did not. Because I'm a big man. Strong body, strong legs, don't let me fall down.
You're coming with a lot of confidence this week.
What can I say? My wife told me that I shouldn't wear sleeves anymore. It really gassed me up, as the teens say. Do you have a small wonder?
I got my face cleaned.
You sure did.
I went to a place right before we started recording, got my face cleaned. I like how...
It's a facial. You got a facial. When you
I know,
say I got
that
my
word makes me sound like too fancy, though.
A facial?
The word facial makes me sound like fancy, I think.
You gotta deconstruct that. I feel like it's normal to get somebody to take care of you a little bit like that.
Well, okay, so I got a facial.
Yeah. Golly. I'm Miss Highfalutin over here.
And the thing, I don't know what they do. They put like 17 creams on your face of varying thicknesses and colors.
Is that an estimation or is that exactly how many creams they put?
It's an estimation, but it's not far off.
Okay, wow, that's a lot of cream.
And you leave so shiny.
Yeah.
And it always makes you feel good.
I can see myself in you, in your face.
That sounds like a line.
I can see my arms in your face.
It seems like you're hitting on me a little bit.
I am a little bit. I go first this week.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about something we brought as a small wonder before.
Okay.
But I think it's ready to be elevated to big wonder status. I'm going to move my keyboard because I got my legs up. I'm kicking it up because it's keeping it cool in the summertime. I don't want to hit the space bar and stop our fucking recording. The Bear. I'm talking about the television show, The Bear.
Oh, good for you.
Can't stop talking about The Bear. Can't stop thinking about The Bear. Got my bros watching The Bear. Well, I got Travis watching The Bear, and he watched one season in like a day.
Yeah, that is what's good about Travis, is if you can sell him, he will finish it immediately.
He also watched all of Siren in like a little less than a week, which has been really fun getting texts from him like, Team Soldier for life. Like, wow, okay, Team Soldier, are you sure? I think The Bear might be my favorite television show that exists right now.
Wow, it does combine a lot of things you like.
It does. I mean, objectively, like, when I think about like the quality of the television show, when I think about how much I enjoy it, how special it feels, like how unique a show it is, how many emotions it is able to elicit from me, like I don't think there's anything else that really comes close.
Well, and have you thought about the poignancy of watching a show about family members that start a business together?
No, not until this moment, but yeah, it is. I mean, I would like to think that the way we run shit is a little bit less stressful than The Bear.
Not as volatile, definitely not as much yelling, hostility.
No.
But I would say, you know, the challenges are
there.
There.
They're there. I talked about The Bear season one as a small wonder. And then in our recap episode last December of like the best TV of the year, I mentioned the first season, which is good because the first season's great. The second season of The Bear is a miraculous thing. And all I want to do is talk about it, which is great because that's what this podcast program is all about. I want to avoid spoilers because I would hate to ruin any of the kind of like big swings that this show takes before people can watch it, but that'll be kind of difficult because my favorite thing about The Bear is the arcs that the characters go on, which are inherently very spoilable. So I'm going to try and avoid that to the best of my ability. So the bear, if you don't know anything about it, which I think is unlikely because I think everybody's kind of talking about this television show.
I will say the name of the show does not give you a lot to go on, though.
No.
So it is probably helpful for people to hear what it's about.
We also watched Cocaine Bear this past weekend.
It's true.
Which is a different type of bear.
True.
A far gorier affair. This is non-cocaine bear. People may do cocaine in it. I can't remember off the top
of
my head.
A live bear is not featured in
the That's not
bear.
True, actually. In the first season, you get
there is a live bear
that he kind of like symbolically. Anyway, again, spoilers. The bear, it's on Hulu. You can watch it if you got that. It's about a restaurant in Chicago. Chicago Beef Restaurant. It's a Chicago Beef Restaurant joint where the main character, Carmi, has come to take over after his brother's passing. And it's just this greasy spoon, hectic, unambitious sandwich spot. And Carmi is this genius, like, master chef who has worked in some of the best restaurants in the world, like fine dining executive chef, high-level dude. And a lot of the first season is about sort of the friction between him and the staff as he tries to modernize and improve this greasy spoon restaurant. And the staff is just incredible. There is his asshole cousin, Richie, who doesn't want anything to change, largely yeah. because he's also dealing with the passing of Michael Carmi's brother. There is Tina, who's like this line cook that starts off making fun of Carmi and giving him a really hard time,
yeah.
but eventually becomes like deeply curious about yeah. the kind of stuff that he's bringing to the table. There's Marcus, who's the pastry chef, who discovers he has this latent pastry ability that he just gets
yeah.
so energized by. There's Sydney, who is a chef that Carmi hires, who is also brilliant and
definitely
ambitious.
The catalyst, right?
Yeah,
like I don't think Carmi could have turned the culture without her,
right? And she works as sort of his teammate to help with this big modernization. The show is incredibly stressful. That is the thing people talk about when they talk about The Bear. It is a very stressful time, and part of that is just like on a here's how a kitchen works level. It is very hectic to be inside of a building where you have to cook a bunch of different kinds of food for large groups of people that sort of circle in and out, right? That's
yeah,
a stressful
and
job.
That it has to be on the tightest timeline possible.
Right. There's also like the sort of interpersonal conflict level. There is the dealing with grief and loss with this like, you know, specter of Carmi's brother that just sort of looms large over the place and the people that work in it. Money is tight. Things are always breaking. People fight a lot as they sort of try to get through their stuff, etc. Here is the thing about The Bear is that it is an uplifting show on a very profound level, despite all of that stress, despite all that stuff, or maybe because of it, right? While watching the second season, I could not stop thinking and comparing it to Ted Lasso, which we watched all of. And I don't like dumping on stuff here on Wonderful because I know lots of people like different kinds of things. I was personally like hugely disappointed in the last season of Ted Lasso, partially because I just didn't think it was very good. Like, I didn't think it was very, very well, very well made television at all. But my biggest problem is that it like, it's a show also about sort of uplifting character moments and redemption and all this stuff. But the last season of that television show did not show its work on all, any of those sort
yeah,
of arcs, like,
right?
at all. It was
we were just told as the viewer that some transformations had happened, but
we didn't see
most of them.
The biggest moments that you could want, the biggest sort of like conversations that you could want to see,
yeah.
the biggest turning points and moments of growth that you wanted to see from those characters, the show literally skipped over whole cloth.
I was so incredulous about it. I kept getting in my head, like, maybe they're doing this on purpose. Maybe there's a message in not showing us what we want to see. And then I was like spending a lot of time and I was like, no, that's still not enjoyable television.
No. The bear gets the fuck in there, man. Like,
yeah.
it gets really, really heavy in how it shows the change as it happens. And it shows the work that goes into it. And that's hard to watch. Like, there are episodes that are difficult to watch. There is in season one a one-shot episode that is a single shot, 17 minutes long. It's quite short compared to the rest of the season. That is a bumpy ride.
Yeah.
But like seeing that stuff makes the positivity and the camaraderie hit so much harder because you know what went into it.
Yeah.
And that is really something magical. That is a really tough tightrope to walk, and the show walks it so well.
And I think the similarity to Ted Lasso is that it's like a team. Like you really get a sense of a team as this show builds, you know?
Travis just texted me. Just texted me as you were talking, and literally he said, holy shit, that one-shot ep followed by the season finale? So you get the Travis McElroy seal of approval. Blew me away, he says. You get the Travis McElroy seal of approval on that. Season one's great, right? Incredible. Incredible television. Season two is even better. It takes a really unique approach where nearly every episode is focused on a single character. And it does something in those like focused episodes that usually drives me up a wall, which is that you don't see the like main cast interact with each other a ton. Certainly not as much as you did in season one when they're all just kind of in the shit, in the battleground together, episode after episode, just grinding it out. Season two is, it goes on some pretty long diversions, right? Like one character goes to Copenhagen to train at like a super high-end restaurant for a while.
And this requires a lot of buy-in as a viewer. Like it really had to earn this in the first season because there are a lot of like practical things that go into the second season that just kind of aren't explained,
No. But
you just kind of have to be like, yeah, they have the budget to send this person here.
Right.
And yeah, sure. Somebody can fundamentally change their outlook in a week.
Right. All that stuff is tough, right? Like doing a whole character transformation in a single 35-minute episode. Yeah. I don't think any other television show can really pull that off, right? Especially not in the kind of sequence that The Bear season two does it, which is like, this episode is this character's episode. This episode is this character's episode. This episode is this character's episode. Then there's going to be like a double long, full flashback episode that is completely detached chronologically from the rest of the episode, from the rest of the season. And then the next episode is focused on this character. Like, that shit should not work. And yet it does,
yeah.
And it strengthens each character individually so that when they all come back together at the end of the season, it is spellbinding television.
To my point I made earlier about the fact that they undergo these transformations in such a short amount of time is it kind of helps you realize how tenuous this is. Like they all have like really invested in optimism and this vision and improving themselves, but it is new for all of them and scary for all of them. And so in this like finale of the second season where it's all being put to the test,
yeah,
like you realize like, ooh, this is really tenuous.
It's also not like totally clean, right? Like even though it is uplifting and you see these characters who love each other working very, very hard to make this dream come true, and there are definitely feel-good moments that come out of that, like there is this constant message of sacrifice and this job demands a lot of you, and it does not shy away from that, especially in the season finale, which is like just fucking amazing, amazing stuff. And I think that's, you know, that is cool, again, compared to a Ted Lasso that is comparatively, I think, pretty saccharine, in the way that it handles happy outcomes.
And also just like whether or not it's okay to want good things for yourself. That is something that all of the characters face of like, do I deserve this?
Yeah.
Have I earned this? Like this world of fine dining that is so foreign to me that I've just been thrust into, like, can I hang? Like how relatable? Like how relatable for anybody that is changing careers or starting something new? Like very like sophisticated in like the way of handling it, yeah. You know, not just like, oh, I'm angry because it's change. And then like, oh, but now I've like it. Like, yeah. There's a lot there's more nuance.
Way more to it than that. You mentioned the way that it portrays fine dining. The tone of the show is really, really refreshing because it's all about, especially season two, is all about fine dining, right? But it doesn't portray it as this stuffy, snobby thing, but as like a celebratory, like high act of service.
Yeah.
And that is such an interesting way of, we've watched, you know, so many shows about cooking. We've watched so much Top Chef, which is about most of the time sociopaths sort of exploring the highest level of food as art, right?
Yeah.
This kind of takes it in a completely different direction, particularly in episode 7 of this season called Forks. This is my favorite episode of TV that I've seen in forever because it flips that on its ear and is about like, we can make someone's day or we can give someone a really, really unforgettable special moment. The writing is incredible. The cinematography is amazing. The performances are next level good.
Yeah.
The soundtrack, the food, it's all just so incredible. It's funny. It's very sad. It is lovely. I cannot say enough about The Bear. The Bear, the television show, is amazing. The Bear season 2 is one of the most spectacular things I've seen on TV, and I'm recommending it to everyone because I think everyone would enjoy it if they can kind of if they can ride out the choppy waters of the stress.
Yeah. I mean, the first season for me was more stressful than the second. I mean, the second is stressful, but the first season was more like, I need to watch something to come down.
Yeah, sure.
Whereas the second season, I don't know if it was because I had kind of familiarized myself with the tone and I was more prepared, but I didn't feel that as much the second season.
Yeah. Go watch it if you can. It's really, really good. Can I steal you away?
Yes.
We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
I keep receiving this huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe 6 things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep. And Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway. Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike, and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Lectric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at lectricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hey, Max Fun listeners, this is Cameron Esposito. I'm a stand-up comic, actor, writer, best-selling author, and podcaster. I got a great show called Query where I interview LGBTQ plus luminaries across, a bunch of fields. People in entertainment, astronauts, musicians, rock stars. I am bringing the show to Maximum Fun. You can listen right now, and I am so happy to be on this network. We have new episodes out every Monday. You can listen at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's official. MaxFun has become a co-op.
We're now a worker-owned network of artist-owned shows supported directly by you.
Thanks to supporters and listeners like you, MaxFun will always be a place where employees have a say.
Thanks to you, shows can continue to partner with an independent, values-driven network.
Thanks to you, we're able to carry on our commitment to our shows and the community we've grown together.
Learn more about what becoming a co-op means for us and you at MaximumFun.org/co-op. That's MaximumFun.org/COOP.
All right. So my thing this week.
Yes.
Hydration.
Yes.
We have not talked about this.
Okay.
I did a search on water. I did a search on hydrate.
Yeah.
We have talked about water in other contexts.
Sure. Swimming, splashing.
But not putting it in
your body to get wet. Yeah, yeah. For sure. Inside wet.
This is something I was thinking about both because you've gotten back on your giant jug, you know, train.
It's not a giant jug.
It's a pretty big jug. It's bigger than your head.
It's okay. Do I have a giant head? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
No, how many ounces in that?
I don't even know. 32, maybe?
It seems like more than that to me.
64. It's 32 to 64. We'll call it 48.
That got me thinking about it. And also, I was talking about it with our friend Alex over the weekend about how when we were kids, people didn't carry water bottles with them.
No.
You know? And I really kind of wanted to get into that a little bit because sure. I was like, why? Obviously, we have known for a long time that people need water to live.
Yeah, but I feel like I did not see people using Contigo water bottles.
Yeah, or like the Nalgene, like Nalgene the big, shit. Yeah.
Until I was like, man, Jesus, like 2010?
That's
like
the thing. I don't remember people having water bottles when I was in college.
Yeah, I don't really remember that either.
Seems crazy.
Seems wild to me.
And so I found this article called Why Millennials Have a Weird Relationship with Water.
Okay.
It's an article by Vice that came out in 2021.
I'm going to guess it's boomers' fault. They didn't do a good enough job.
It's a lot of things.
Okay.
as tempting as it is.
Boomers has drank all the water, so we didn't get any of it.
But the author talks about how, like, the idea of taking their child anywhere without water is, like,
unthinkable.
Right? Like, this is a big stress for us.
Yes.
Both, like, did we bring the water bottle, and do we still have the water bottle?
Water bottles like it's my part-time job.
So many times, Griffin and I will go somewhere, and I will look at both of his hands, and I'll be like, hey.
Where's the water bottle
you were holding
45 seconds ago?
So there's a few things that are related to this. I mean, I can talk about the benefits of water, and I will a little bit at the end, but I think
people
it was more
know what it is. We're made
was
up
more
of it,
interesting 98%. To me. So first of all, we kind of grew up in the age of like fruit punch.
Oh yeah.
You know, like the Capri Sun, like the Hawaiian Punch, High C, Sunny D, all of that. Very popular. The author mentions the 24-ounce Arizona iced tea.
See, I never messed with that. All the other stuff I was vibing on and thinking also while you were saying that list, like, fuck, all that stuff is better than water, though. Dang it. It tastes so much better to drink that stuff.
What I always forget about is the food pyramid didn't come out until 1995.
Okay.
So when we were coming up, everybody was freaking out about fat. Everything was like low fat. But sugar was not as troubling to people. People like didn't really, they knew that sugar was bad for your teeth. But the idea that consuming a lot of sugar and giving your children sugar was just bad for them nutritionally, like no one was talking about that.
Yeah.
And I, again, I'm not saying that sugar is bad. I'm saying that this focus on fruit drinks was not like concerning to our parents. It didn't seem any better or worse than water.
No, because it tasted so good and it made us so happy to drink it.
There was also a like shrinking number of water fountains. In the 1980s, the EPA had discovered high levels of lead contaminating the water in public fountains. So a lot of them were just removed. It just like wasn't accessible. There was also the whole increase of milk. Apparently milk was ramped up during World War II.
The cows were very patriotic. They were like, our boys need our help over there. Get squirting.
A little like cow making a muscle saying like, we can do it.
We can moo it. It was,
no, that's good.
Thanks. That's what it said. The posters, the cow posters.
The cow posters.
Cows. Yeah.
So milk started declining in the 80s, which is when they invested, American dairy farmers invested in the Got Milk campaign.
Yes.
So all of a sudden it was like, everybody was like, you should be drinking more milk.
Fucking unfathomable to me that there was a huge period of my life where I would go to the fridge with a big cup, fill that cup with milk.
Uh-huh.
You know, the cooking ingredient, and then just drink that?
Yeah.
In my body?
Pediatricians now are so chill on milk.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they recognize, obviously, as a very young child, it is important because you were building these bones and these teeth. But then the older your kid gets, the more they're like, you can cut back.
You're fine. Maybe it's because they realized that poor little Griffin McElroy was curled up on the sofa, writhing in pain minutes later. Like, oh, man, my bones are getting so strong. It hurts.
Right around the whole time of, like, Perrier, and then there's the obesity epidemic, people start talking about water more.
Okay.
Millennials became really big on this like organic, clean choice of right. Like how do we live more consciously? How do we eat more responsibly? And so people started realizing that there was money in water.
Yes.
and now it's like a huge industry. I mean, you and I like hardly ever drink anything that is just not water.
That's right.
It's sparkling water.
Not bottled water. Not like we don't buy Aquafina, but we do almost always have a reusable guy ready to rock and roll.
So how much water you drink is...
How much water are you drinking? How much water are you drinking?
The way that the Mayo Clinic article I'm looking at talks about the necessary amount of water consumption is how much water you're losing throughout the day.
Okay, that's interesting.
So it's not more like you need this much to be a smart person. It's more like you need to replenish this much.
That's great, because we did also overcorrect where there are lots of people like, you need to drink 16 gallons of water every day or you will die before you are 50 years old. And then everybody's like, are you sure it hurts to drink this much water? Yeah. And now I think we've chilled on it.
Yeah. A lot of people were like, I don't really think there's a benefit past a certain point. So the article I'm looking at that came from the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine determined that between 2.5 and 3.5 liters of fluid a day.
That could be any amount of fluid. That could be any amount of fluid.
Well, you think about like a 1 liter of soda.
Yes. Okay.
So then you can kind of visualize what that looks like. It's not an absurd amount.
No, it's not wild.
But yeah, like depending on your environment and your exercise and whether you're, you know, pregnant or have other health conditions, obviously that varies. But the idea is that you should rarely feel thirsty. And then, you know, that pee. You know what that pee should look like, right?
Oh, I know what that pee should look like.
It should be like what they describe as straw colored.
Straw color?
Yeah. In our agrarian nation, most of us can identify what straw looks like.
Straw on site. Yeah, for sure.
when you drink too much water, your kidneys can't get rid of the excess water, and so the sodium in your blood can start to become diluted. So it's important not to, like,
you want a little bit of sodium.
Go there. Too hard.
Yeah, for sure. Then you got to pretzel up just to sort of balance your humors.
God, I love pretzels so much.
Yeah, I know you do.
But the idea is that, you know, more water, it helps with your physical performance. Dehydration can cause a lot of issues in your mental strength and your reaction time. There's all this studies that say if you just lose 1% of water after exercise, it can impair your mood and concentration.
Oh, yeah. One of the most empowering things as an adult that I have learned is that 90% of my mental and physical problems can be addressed by drinking a glass of water and just doing a little bit of box breathing.
Yeah,
just
so true.
Replenishing the wet and the air in my body, like it's some sort of car that just one of my check engine lights comes on.
Yeah.
And I drink a glass of water and just do some breathing.
That is my immediate response. So headache is one of the most common symptoms of dehydration, and that's my immediate response anytime Griffin's like, I have a headache. I'm like,
drink water. I drink it and I'm like, nope, yep, there it goes.
that's what it was. Kidney stones, obviously you can improve your situation with the kidneys.
That's true. I stopped drinking brown soda pretty much.
Yeah,
when I got
right.
Kidney stones. I had to have surgically removed while I was in college. Just the worst pain I think I've maybe ever felt.
Yeah.
And then I just stopped doing that, just drinking water, and they've never come back.
A big concern we have lately, too. So now that we have a 2-year-old, we are very concerned with constipation.
Oh, my God.
Water is good for that.
Yeah.
He needs to be drinking constant water all the time. Can prevent hangovers. Alcohol apparently makes you lose more water than you take in.
Yes.
So you're supposed to drink more water.
Big ups to our friends Pete and Evan, who taught me the
one
glass of water per alcoholic beverage that you drink.
At least.
And it really does wonders.
We're
not doctors, by the way.
We're not doctors.
Nor are our friends Pete and Evan. They're the furthest thing in the world from medical professionals.
No, they had a habit of creating events around day drinking, which none of us could really do past about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Like the rest of our evening was over, and they could continue largely, I think, because of their commitment to water.
Sure. I love hydration. It's great.
Yeah. Summer months.
Summer months. Keep it cool in this hot fun of the summertime. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Bowen and Augustus for these for a theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. We have a bunch of merch over at macroymerch.com you can check out, including the Poetry Corner candle, which I think we have one on the way here, which I can't wait.
Oh, good.
Because the smell profile on this one, folks, it's going to rock your world.
I did get consulted on the creation of this candle, which I really appreciated as the creator and groundskeeper of the poetry corner.
Is there much grounds to get? It's a corner,
but there's a lot of poetry in there, and that can get overgrown.
That's it for this episode. We're gonna go now because I have to go pick up our son from summer camp, where hopefully he's been drinking lots of water and making lots of fun friends and memories, playing Foursquare and crafts, ashtrays.
I'm waiting for those friendship bracelets, man.
I don't know. I guess I don't think they do those anymore because of the choke. It's a choking hazard. Thanks, Obama.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.